We turn to Washington now, where all that's needed to pass the $1.1 trillion budget to fund the U.S. government through September is President Obama's signature. It's been a protracted journey from stalled votes in the House this past week to a long and dramatic weekend session for the Senate. In case you weren't tuned to the Senate's every move over the weekend, fortunately, NPR politics editor Charlie Mattesian was. He is at the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. to tell us what's in the budget and what's not. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Lisa.
So there seemed to be a fair amount of political jousting within parties, especially over the weekend, causing a delay on the vote. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, was challenging President Obama's executive action on immigration, but he didn't get so far with his fellow Republicans. What happened?
Well, much of the spectacle this weekend involved Cruz, as you mentioned, who, along with Utah Senator Mike Lee, on Friday scuttled a deal between party leaders, which would have handled the vote on Monday. Basically, what happened was that Cruz demanded that Republicans stop the president's executive action on immigration through a procedural maneuver, and that had the effect of forcing the Senate to return for a weekend session. Now, that's somewhat unusual. The problem, of course, is that many of Senator Cruz's Republican colleagues reacted with anger to the tactic, not just because it caught them off guard and stood to blow up the deal, but because it suddenly presented the prospect that it could allow the president to get more of his stalled judicial and executive branch nominees confirmed, because Republicans had hoped, in essence, to run out the clock on nominations. So that left lots of bad feelings on the Senate floor. Now, keep in mind that the Republicans weren't the only side where we saw some drama. The vote on the measure also revealed some fault lines on the Democratic side, where we saw some of the more progressive members of the Senate, led by Senator Elizabeth Warren, vote no in opposition to their party leadership, in part because of objections to a key provision in the measure that the banking industry wanted.
And in terms of the banking industry and Elizabeth Warren, actually, we want to catch up on Elizabeth Warren in just a second. But first, let me ask you, as this budget now goes to President Obama, what has survived in it? What's in?
Well, when all the dust settles, what we've seen is that the Senate voted to approve a $1.1 trillion deal, which averted the shutdown and funds the government through next September. Next is the president's signature. So what's in the bill? I guess broadly speaking, the legislation provides full funding for 11 of the 12 appropriations bills that Congress is supposed to pass. But it only provides money through February for the Department of Homeland Security, which is the agency, as you know, that has jurisdiction over immigration enforcement. And that's because Republicans plan to design a legislative response to the president's executive action on immigration policy. Now, other things in the bill, among other things, there's money to fight the rise of the Islamic State, $5.4 billion to fight the threat of Ebola. There are significant changes to campaign finance laws and also a provision that weakens the Dodd-Frank Act's restrictions on banks that want to trade in the kinds of derivatives that triggered the 2008 financial crisis.
Let me ask you one thing, Charlie, on that. Both the first two things that you mentioned, fighting ISIS, fighting Ebola, involve the United States military, but military benefits were cut. How come?
Well, I think what you saw was a reflection of the kind of environment that we have in Washington right now, where when it comes to spending, when it comes to military decisions, there's just not a lot of unanimity in terms of what the two parties want, what the factions of the parties want, whether you're talking about the wing that's more concerned with limited spending, or whether you're talking about folks that want to see some sort of different policy when it comes to whether it's fighting the Islamic State or any other theater that we're engaged in.
Okay, let's. I'm sure you were paying attention to the weekend talk shows, and President Dick Cheney was on NBC's Meet the Press talking about the continued reaction, or adding to the reaction, to the Senate Committee's report on torture that was used during the CIA's interrogation of suspected terrorists. So, former Vice President Cheney was told by Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd noted that he's the host of the show, that 25% of the detainees who were interrogated with these methods were later found to be innocent. The former vice president said he doesn't have a problem with that.
It worked. It worked now for 13 years. Mm-hmm. We've avoided another mass casualty attack against the United States. We did capture Bin Laden. We did capture an awful lot of the senior guys of Al-Qaeda who were responsible for that attack on 9/11. I'd do it again in a minute.
Do you see the former vice president's public comments as an attempt to defend his record in office, or something more than that?
Well, I think it was exactly as it appeared, an unrepentant former vice president defending his record and framing it in the understanding that this is a major part of his legacy as a public official. What's notable here is I think this was perhaps the most full-throated public defense that we've heard yet of the CIA's use of torture or harsh interrogation techniques, even though the vice president insisted that it didn't actually amount to torture. And I think the language that Cheney chose was intentionally revealing. By saying things like, I'd do it again in a minute, and reminding of what happened at the Trade Center on 9/11, there's really no room for misunderstanding how Cheney views the morality of the CIA's actions.
Okay, we only have a few seconds left, but tell us briefly about one of the Democrats talked about as candidate for 2016 president, Elizabeth Warren, who told Morning Edition just this morning she's not running. End of story, Charlie?
That's a good question. I think there's lots of folks on the left that are hoping it's not going to be the end of story. There is just lots and lots of interest on the left, particularly within the progressive movement, in a Warren candidacy. She's the figurehead of the wing of the party that has the most energy these days, and I think there are lots of folks on the left that would like to see a challenge like Elizabeth Warren, whether it's to Hillary Clinton or whether it's just having those issues that she raises brought up in the campaign sphere.
Good to get your point of view, as always. Charlie Mattesian, NPR Politics Editor. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.